listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Tuesday, March 21st, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Yesterday, we talked about the fear and greed gauge and didn't seem to have a lot of fear yesterday, but it did come through in today's markets. And we had a little pressure on gold earlier in the day, but had a very strong rebound. We're going to be talking about that. Let's first see what the gold market did today in the aftermarket. The New York spot price, you're looking at gold at $1,245.30, up $10.40. You have silver at $1,761, up 11 cents. Platinum was down a buck at $973, with palladium up four at $789. You have the USDX, that is weaker, down 0.63 at $99.72. And you have crude oil down 88 at $47.50. And the paper markets today, the numbers are still changing, but currently at 403, the Dow is down over 1%, down 237 points at 20,668. I mean, it's still at a significant level. It's down 237. But the NASDAQ was down almost 2%, almost 100 points, well, actually 107 points, 5,793. The S&P was down 30 at 23.44. 10-year yield continues to drop 0.04 at 2.44%. And the euro, of course, is stronger, up 0.70 at 108. And the fear and greed index number today is 36. Yesterday it was in the 40s. Today it is 36. So, what changed from today, from yesterday to today? One thing, there was a headline out by, let me pull up my number here, there's been a report, was breaking news right at the top of the hour that North Korea will pursue acceleration of nuclear and missile programs, Reuters reports. Now, that came out, well, maybe not right at the top of the hour, but the market was, you know, trading mainly down like 100. It hit 200, came back, and it was holding around the 160, 170 level. After this report, that's when it's really saw in the last half hour, the last 15 minutes, where it really dropped to where it is at the moment. And so you have to ask yourself, is this the moment? You know, I think the market is getting tired of not hearing about tax cuts. They don't have a time frame. They see the administration struggling with the tax cuts. There's problems with the health care. That's not getting passed along as strong. There's been so many distractions. And so I'm not sure if we see this as the moment in time where the Trump honeymoon is over, and we'll be heading back down to the 18,000 level, or is this something a little more systemic in the market? Because there really isn't anything that supports, heck, from the Dow from 12,000 up to 20,000. So we've talked about the multi-decade high extremes of optimism. We talked about how these are all warning signs. I think another day we'll have to see what tomorrow brings, if they're able to bring it back. But some of the sectors that declined, shares of healthcare, select sector, the spider ETF fell about 1%. Caterpillar, it was down 3%. And they would have been a beneficiary of any new funding to build roads, bridges, the wall and the Mexican border. You also had a senator, I can't remember which one, out of Ohio, I think it was Brown, is saying that, hey, he's not going to support. There's a lot of other ones that are not going to support a wholesale rollback on the Dodd-Frank financial regulation that was put in place during the Obama administration. So the banking sector fell today. Bank of America plunged nearly 6%. J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo, they were down 3%. So there's a lot of things that are coming to the forefront, and you know, you might just say that the honeymoon is over, because it doesn't seem like anything is getting done. I think there's a lot of things going on, good things, that are happening in this administration, but it just doesn't get reported on. It just doesn't get talked about because, you know, these other situations and distractions are being created. So I can't figure it out. Maybe I'm not meant to figure it out. I'm only meant to stay with gold and silver, because that I know. But the sell-off was broader than just the banks and healthcare. You had Detroit's, the big three auto stocks. You have GM, Ford, Fiat, Chrysler. They all fell about 3%. And even though oil prices were sliding, because usually auto sales will tend to go up when gas is a little bit cheaper. So again, there's big concerns that the best days, or all these, you know, records of automobiles being sold, all the best days for the car companies are actually behind them. You even had tech stocks. So you have all these sectors did fall. It wasn't just one or two. Tech stocks, they fell. Yesterday, you had the NASDAQ hit record highs again, and now it's down almost 2%. So it's been 8 years in this bull market, so we'll have to see if this is the end. And I think the listeners know what we've been talking about for the, you know, past 8 years, that there isn't anything underneath it to certainly support the numbers that the markets have provided. So
I think the answer may, the explanation, if there is an explanation, maybe just looking at some sort of random event in a sense, I think it might have to do with the number of reports we've had in the last 6 weeks or so of people in pieces in positions of power, positions of influence, that are warning that the market is, the stock market is due for a significant correction, and they're warning as if it's due any moment now. And if you hear one of those, that's interesting news. You know, the sky is falling. You don't pay much attention to it. But they have, we talked about it just in the last day or two. You see them on a regular basis when you're sorting through the news to pick up articles that you want to talk about on the radio program, or I do. And the number of warnings, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, this whole thing is sitting on the edge, could drop at any moment. The number, the frequency has increased. I don't see any articles to the contrary. They say, oh, happy days are here again. Everything's solid. And the point I'm reaching for is the idea that people have heard the possibility that there's going to be some sort of a major correction. They've heard it for the last 6 weeks or more. And perhaps it's finally just reached a point where, if anything happens, they may be as skittish as cats. They want to stick in, and they don't want to lose any money if they don't have to. But well, at the same time, they're ready to bolt for the door if anything strange happens, or everybody's going to run for the door at the same time.
Well, I think the realization really is coming from the administration and from Washington, because the tax cuts, and that's the whole reason why we saw the last 3,000 points, why the stock market, the Dow went up 22% since Trump's since his election. People were expecting tax cuts. People are expecting the Obamacare to be done. People are expecting the regulations to be cut. People are expecting these things, and it isn't going through. You also have from Bank of America. So I don't think it's just like, oh, these are too high. There was a lot of warning signs, but something usually has to, you know, something leads the way to do it. And I just saw this right before the program. There was a signal from Bank of America's flow data. It blends positioning and sentiment surveys that are conducted with its hedge fund and real money clients on available futures data. And what they're talking about is the bank's takeaway is that bullish dollar positions that were put on after the election have completely disappeared. and we saw the dollar down significantly today. The dollar positions accumulated in the buildup and immediate aftermath of the U.S. election look to have been fully unwound. And again, this comes from Bank of America. Positioning will not be the main driver of the next broad dollar move. So we're going to see a weaker dollar. This is what everybody wants anyway. But yet, was this the, you know, the one thing that that made it move, or is it just an accumulation of everything? I mean, we've been talking about all the problems that this economy is facing, our debt. That's just not the debt, but, you know, why the markets are going up, why you have multinational corporations buying back their shares to keep their numbers up after the election, or the promises of all these things, and nothing ever happened. It was just a bunch of hot air that made the markets go up from the beginning. So eventually, you know, that hot air cools off and you're going to see that balloon drop. And so was there any one thing, any cumulative? And is this a one-day event where tomorrow you'll see it go up a little bit more? I don't think so. I think we pretty much, unless something big happens, like some kind of a game-changing announcement. And from what I see, I don't think there are any.
There's one. Could bomb the poop out of North Korea. That would people be cheering back in this country? At least there's a possibility, probability, whatever.
I don't think so.
Well, I wouldn't bet that they're going to do it, but I'm just suggesting
that wouldn't make anything go up.
Nothing like a good war, Melody. Spark optimism.
No, I don't think that would happen. But and not with China and everything else going on over. So no, that it wouldn't be a good sign for them to do that. If anything, so I don't know if you were just being.
No, I would never do that. I would never do that, Melody.
Never serious.
Oh, yeah, I am.
But, so...
Sometimes I get serious. I get so serious I start cussing, Melody. So I'm trying to keep kind of mellowing out here.
So is this when the markets come unglued? I don't know. But I told Al before the program, last week, you're going to see gold closer to $1,300. Than 1,200, and we're halfway there. And so,
yeah. And actually, just said by the end of this week,
by the end of this week, I said we'd have a little weakness this morning, and we did. I think the pressure on gold is over. That I do believe, and it doesn't matter what announcement. So I don't think that's going to change. So again, folks. And I hear it every day. Well, you know, I think gold is going lower. I think, how much lower do you want it to go if you believe these people who say you're going to have $700, $800 gold? Oh, my gosh. You're insane.
Well, you got to weigh how much lower can gold go? Could go lower. Like anything else, the price of anything can fall. It could happen to gold. You got to weigh how much lower it could go against how much higher it almost certainly is going to go, although we don't know exactly when. I mean, what exactly is the play on gold? Yeah, it's possible that, you know, you're going to save yourself $20 if you wait to buy gold for another week. It's also possible that you're going to lose $50 or $100 if you wait for another week, and you have to weigh it in your own mind. Is gold more likely to go up, or is it more likely to go down? And based on that, that should at least influence your decision whether to buy or sit tight.
So, and again, you know, we can't forget about the debt. It's going close to $20 trillion. There was a financial watchdog. We talk about John Williams, where he thinks the amount of, you know, what the true debt number is. There's another financial watchdog that says it's $100 trillion is more of a realistic number when factoring in the unfunded obligations. So again, debt ceiling. Hey, that was whispered last Wednesday. Never to be mentioned again. It's just something should be in the back of everyone's mind, and just to where we truly are. I mean, they're making bets on when it's going to go over the 20 trillion dot, but you know, when you're looking at, and they all blame Medicare and Social Security, and you know, the federal government doesn't include those unfunded liabilities on its balance sheet. This group says that they estimate that the federal government owes about $31 trillion in unfunded Social Security promises and $44 trillion in unfunded Medicare promises. It only owes $7.2 trillion in promised pension and other retiree benefits. You know, I mean, it's just like, no, there's an end to all this, folks.
I think it's, you know, one of the things that crossed my mind is we complain about government being corrupt. You know, a lot of people believe that the attempts to manipulate the economic indicators, unemployment, inflation, GDP, whatever, that people think, some people think this is evidence of corruption. Maybe not. And maybe it's in control by outside forces and whatever that are trying. Maybe it's evidence of desperation. Maybe the government has no legitimate tools for dealing with the problems that they think are confronting us. And therefore, all they can do is try to lie and hope for the best. So what are we dealing with, Melody? Are we dealing with a bunch of crooks, or are we dealing with a bunch of desperate hombres that, in their own way, maybe trying to hold this thing together? And is that a bad thing?
Yeah, which came first?
Oh, I understand. The answer, Melody, is both.
Oh,
don't you remember that?
Huh? You know, but the people wanted it too. The people wanted to see the things that the government provided. People might have resisted and didn't like bigger government, but yet they were willing to accept what bigger government gave them. So, you know, there's everybody can have a little bit of the blame. You know, we all take part.
No,
of course not. Everybody should have share in the blame. But the problem is now we're in a situation that it can't be fixed.
The fundamental problem, and there is the reason to hold on to gold. And if you don't have any, get some. We are facing problems that ultimately can't be fixed. All right? They are so massive, we're not going to just tweak our way out of this situation. We're not going to raise taxes or create more industry in this country and solve all of our problems. We have been feeding off the future for several decades in this country. And that's what borrowing is all about. We're robbing money from the future to live large now, or at least live well, or at least try to hold it together. But however you look at it, if you're borrowing, you are detracting from the future, and that means sooner or later you are going to come to a bleak future. And when you do, that's when you're going to be glad to have some gold. Let's take a break for a couple commercials. Millet and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I did. We mentioned North before we go on to the departments that Trump wants to cut. North Korea, I mean, they really have no fear of the U.S. The U.S. was planning on put on some sanctions. They're going to continue to pursue their endeavors of their nuclear and missile programs. And so they really don't have any fear. And I know there's China's president is going to be, I think, in Washington in April, and the Secretary of State Tillerson, he's going to stay in the States to attend those meetings with Trump. But what kind of sanctions can they actually put on them that would actually hurt North Korea?
They could cut down all the trees so they don't have any bark to eat.
There really isn't anything for them to do.
Well, I'm sure there's things for them to do, but the problem they've got is that the North Korean people are so cowed into submission to Kim Il-sung and the Korean government that they have to, we see crazy things in this country. We see them on a regular basis and we talk about them on this program, but you don't have to believe in them. All right? We are still free enough in this country who say, that's crazy. Yeah. But they can't do, they don't even dare do that. Everybody, the whole country, at least the way the impression comes to me, I'm not there, I don't know what's actually going on the ground with the girl, but the impression is that the whole country is, every time their president, if he passes wind, everybody's clapping their hand and thinking he's done something great. They are caught in a terrible tyranny. They are caught in they're subject to incredible oppression. There's not real freedom of speech. There's not freedom of thought. I will bet you that every one of the top government officials who was anywhere close to Kim Il-sung, they are walking around on eggs constantly, wondering when they're going to be bumped off because they did something he doesn't like. Their country is caught in a kind of madness, and it's not going to escape as long as Kim Il-sung is still sitting on the throne, which means I don't think there's going to be a change in North Korea until someone takes matters into their own hands. One way or another, that guy's got to be removed from power. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one who thinks this. I'm sure I would assume that is at least a plausible strategy that a lot of people, they might not want to do it. They might want to get involved in it, but they have to admit, that's plausible. Could be simple solution. Maybe the simplest solution, but the whole place is just dominated by fear, or at least that's the way it appears to me.
But I think we talked about this last week, too. I mean, just because he's doing what he's doing, does that,
The guy is out of his mind. He fired four missiles last week that in the direction of Japan.
Japan.
Understand, the guy is crazy. He's advertising that they're going to continue with their development of intercontinental ballistic missiles and nuclear warheads. He's going to keep pushing that. Look, if you're going to do it, but don't talk about it.
Do it quietly, like Iran.
Yeah. For God's sake, he's just trying to rub everybody's nose and say, I can do anything I want. Look, you're a pipsqueak, sonny. You need to understand that. You keep pushing people around. There are people around who can push back. and you don't have the strength to do anything about it. I don't know. You can't help wondering, is this guy crazy enough to launch an intercontinental ballistic missile? He might only have one of them, but could he launch it at Seattle or Los Angeles or someplace? Is he crazy enough to do it? There are not many people listening to this program. Oh, he would never. Well, he talks about it, but he would never do something. Well, I don't know. Can we take that risk? I mean, you act like you're crazy. Soon, it can be an act. It can be just a facade. Maybe he's not crazy, but you gotta be crazy to act like you're crazy. When you got your finger on a nuclear button, that's gonna make people anxious. And they're going to do something to get your finger away from that button. So I don't know what to do. If man wants to act like he's crazy, you got to figure to some degree he is.
He is.
And then what?
Well, hey.
You're going to trust a crazy man with an ICBM? The whole thing is just disturbing.
Story has it, he killed his uncle because his uncle disagreed with him. He
his
had
stepbrother.
His stepbrother, a half-brother. I'm not sure which it was.
Half-brother.
Story is he was whacked by him.
Like I say, this guy's off his nut.
Yeah.
You know, this guy goes beyond. We have people complain that there are psychopaths in positions of power in our own government. They complain that that to be a psychopath may be an attribute of a positive for people who want to run major corporations. You got to be a little psychopathic. Okay, maybe so, but you got to be crazy to be a psychopath and act like you're crazy. Right? There may be something to be said, right or wrong. You know, maybe it's just the way the world is. But you have to be crazy, really crazy in some regard, to act as if you're nuts. You can't just... psychopath has to pretend he's not a psychopath. This guy Kim Il-sung, he's not pretending anything other than this. He's running this country like a giant... his country like a giant panty raid. All right? This is just a big laugh to him, apparently. I don't know what... I have no idea what really goes on over there, but the image that's being conveyed to the world, I mean, is dangerous to North Korea. Because if somebody removes him, the whole world is going to say, yay. They're going to clap their hands and they're going to breathe a sigh of relief. And that's a dangerous thing. I mean, if you're Kim Il-sung, you have to take this into consideration. The world opinion is being marshaled to condemn him and cheer if and when the man is removed.
And the only thing that he wants is to destroy us. I mean, that's what he says.
He knows, but
that's my point. He's not saying, well, I want to be included in, you know, the world trade of, you know, global trade and something. No, there isn't anything that he wants. He doesn't even say, take the sanctions off and I'll stop. I mean, he has one goal, and you're right. He advertises it.
Yeah.
He has one goal, and he advertises it. He doesn't ask for anything else.
I think it may be something that his dad taught him. That you've got to keep the people in a state of fear, all right? And maybe fear and maybe exaggerated respect. But he's like a professional wrestling, all right? He's gonna go through the little dance as if he's the most powerful guy on the face of the earth, and then he's going to get smashed into the canvas before the fight is over. It may be part of the show, not so much for our benefit, But in order to keep the North Korean people in line. He may have learned some of this. It may be a fundamental principle that his daddy taught him. He said, look, you got to manipulate these people. You got to keep them in line. Well, maybe he's doing what his dad taught him. I don't know. But whatever's the excuse, whether it's daddy taught him a bad lesson, or he's implementing badly, or it's his own idea, it's still... you can't handle nuclear weapons and dress up like Clarabel the clown and honk a horn and rest of that sort of thing. You have to behave in a way that's responsible, and if you don't, you're going to make so many people anxious. Somebody's going to get you.
The nut doesn't fall far from the tree. Right.
Yeah, it doesn't fall far from the tree, but sometimes it rolls a long ways from the tree. It's hard to say, but...
So... It is. I don't want to quote you because, but it is.
That'll just give me a big head, Mel.
Yeah, I know, but it is. You know, what a time! What a time! And unfortunately, it's not good times. But I mean, we're seeing changes. You know, just all around the world. I mean, just you can't pick a spot that doesn't have some sort of conflict within their country. Whether it be from the people, whether it be from the governments, whether it be
immigrants,
from the leaders, whether it be from refugees, whether it be from, but there's something everywhere. And, you know, you can't go down that path for a very long time before something nasty happens.
I agree with you.
And it's been going on for a while. So I do believe we're getting to a peak where every day that passes, we get a little more closer to something that I don't wish would happen.
An event that could just you know, we talk about it on a fairly regular basis, but the whole system is so fragile. Everybody seems to understand that. I don't exactly talk about it, but everybody seems to understand we're not going to raise the interest rate by more than 0.25% at a time. All right? The thing is fragile. Why not raise it to 3%? No, you can't, because the whole system is so fragile, you don't dare take that chance. Sooner or later, something's going to pop. And when it does, and it might be North Korea, it could have something to do with OPEC. Who knows? Venezuela might make something bizarre happen. There's no telling. But the whole thing is so interconnected that if something happens over in India, you can't be sure that it's not going to have an adverse consequence in the United States. And we are tangled up with everybody, including the lunatics. Used to be we were separated by two oceans, you know? If the lunatics, okay, they got their lunatics, let their lunatics do what they want to do, and we'll deal with our lunatics domestically. No, we got to deal with lunatics around the world right now. So,
you know, all you hear in mainstream is, and I was reading today, that Tillerson was not going to go to the NATO meeting. That's at the same time that the Chinese president is going to be here in the United States. And, oh, how terrible is that? Oh, you know, in the U.S., you know, it's just a terrible thing. However, starting in April, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Venter, he announced today that the United States will be leading a battalion of NATO troops on a deployment into northeastern Poland. And again, this is the latest in a string of NATO deployments in response to Russia's 2014 annexation of Crimea. Now, you haven't heard much about, you know, Crimea of late and so forth. Some 1,200 troops are expected to be sent, with over 900 U.S. troops providing the largest portion of this new battalion. 150 British troops will be also involved, along with 120 Romanian troops. Britain has also deployed a substantial force into the nearby state of Estonia as part of the same operation. And so, you know, it goes on and on and on, but the... they say that this is not a training mission and that the U.S. troops are fully ready to be lethal against Russian forces in this new effort.
But like they'd stand a chance. We're going to send a couple thousand guys over
there. But the whole point
is sacrificial goats.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
And if they get killed, then we get serious and something happens. But it's not, I mean, the Russians aren't, they sleep just as well tonight. They'll sleep as well tonight as they did a week ago.
But the point is, here's something little. And again, the mainstream media is saying, oh, we're not supporting NATO. Well, we are. We're leading a battalion of NATO troops, so it's not like we pulled out of NATO or anything. But here's just something little to add to the list.
I understand that. And it's like one of those games, pick up sticks. You know, how many sticks can you remove from the pile before everything breaks loose? That's what we're facing. And again, this is a kind of huge potential instability. And I think anyone who's listening to this program, and probably just about anybody who pays any attention in this country, understands something's going to break loose. Maybe next week, maybe next year. I don't know when it's going to happen. Nobody knows exactly when it's going to happen unless there are people in positions of authority that finally say, enough, pull the plug. They might know, all right, in the sense where they say, all right, we're going to make it happen. They've been trying to make it not happen for God knows how many years, and now maybe somebody has just said, all right, enough, 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 pull the plug and let it go, and devil take the hindmost. You know, could happen. No one knows, but you can see it. How are we going to get out of this one, Ollie? You know, Stanley, you really got us into a big, you really got us into a mess this time. How are we going to get out of it? And the answer is, we're not. There's the problem. That debt for me is the focus. Too big. Can't be paid. Can't possibly be paid. All right? And if they cancel the debt, they wipe out. So imagine that they wiped out the national debt, $20 trillion. And they said, we're just not paying. That's all. Sorry, we're broke. We don't have the money. You can't do that. You can't just cancel the debt, because every dollar it's worth of debt that we have in the national debt is memorialized by a U.S. bond. Somebody's holding the bond, and it's worth $100,000 or whatever that is part of the national debt. That bond is being used as collateral to fund loans from banks. It's being used as a source of income for pension funds. I don't know what all it's being used for, but if you cancel the debt, you must cancel. If you cancel $20 trillion worth of debt, you must cancel $20 trillion worth of paper assets. I don't think the global economy can withstand that. I'm sure the U.S. economy can't withstand it. The bonds are divided up. Some are in foreign countries. Some are here in the United States. But the loss of $20 trillion in paper capital, it would be just devastating. Right? I mean, that'll be the shot heard around the world if this thing goes down. And we can't pay the debt. The debt is too big to be repaid, and we can't repudiate the debt. What are we going to do with the debt? Nobody knows. I don't know anyone who knows. It's too big to pay, and we can't repudiate it. What are we going to do with it? The only way out of this is some sort of a radical, revolutionary change. Could use a new money system.
Well, that's what they have to do.
Political revolution. I don't know where it's all going. Economic collapse. But there is no simple, painless way to escape this problem. And even if they can hold it together for another 5 years, there's no way to escape this problem. And that's part of the reason why you sit back and say, look, if the government is crazy enough to sustain this problem, to get us into it, and they can't get us out, it's up to you and me and everyone else to do whatever we can on an individual basis to protect ourselves, protect our families as best we can. Gold is part of that protection. We'll take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. Won't you lay it on the line? I need it to be read just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, you wanted to talk about something.
We got an article from the Post, which is Trump plans to zero out 19 agencies. Now, that's a good headline from people from my end of the political spectrum. Or my edge. I'm not sure if I'm. Am I at an end of the political spectrum, or at an edge or a fringe, Melody?
This is something. All of the above.
This is something that sounds good. Trump plans to zero out 19 agencies. Talking about federal agencies, and the article says besides reducing funding for both the Environmental Protection Agency and the State Department, Trump plans to eliminate funding entirely for 19 federal agencies. Without these agencies, this will save the government a total of $3 billion in spending. Well, you know, right now, the first thing I look at is $3 billion? I mean, that's you know, chump change in the way the government operates today. It's not that. It's a step in the right direction, in my opinion. But on the other hand, $3 billion isn't going to make this thing hold together or fall apart. But it's a step in the right direction. The agencies that he proposes to eliminate completely include the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which has a $445 million annual budget. The National Endowment for the Arts, they have a $148 million national budget. National Endowment for the Humanities, doesn't say what their budget is exactly. It says the same as the NEA, which is $148 million, perhaps that's what they mean. Institute of Musician, Museum, and Library Services. This was started out by President Bill Clinton and has a $230 million annual budget. Now, what we're... And then the Corporation for National and Community Service has a budget of $1 billion. Now we're talking a little money. That's serious for one entity, Corporation for National and Community Service. I wonder how many of you people have heard of that entity. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Corporation for Public Broadcasting and National Endowment for the Arts, National Endowment for the Humanities, the Institute of Museum and Library Service. Probably haven't heard of that one. Corporation for National and Community Service budget $1 billion. He's proposing to get rid of that. These are programs that the left will be angry to lose. All right, they want the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Arts, and so on. These are the kind. These are the kinds of programs that the left will not want to forfeit. There's the Institute of Peace, and you can bet how much their what's their annual budget. $35 million. Created in 1984, this agency aims to mitigate overseas conflicts. $35 million. You know, I mean, that's two people and a secretary. Then there are the regional agencies that you probably haven't heard of, like the Delta Regional Authority with a $25 million budget. That's peanuts. That's one of them he's going to get rid of. The purpose is to increase economic development in the Mississippi Delta region, right? The Mississippi Delta, right? I get that. That's down there around Louisiana. But it says here the Mississippi Delta region, which includes Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Louisiana, Mississippi, Kentucky, Missouri, and Illinois. Illinois is in the Mississippi Delta region. All right. This sounds to me like a program that you establish so you can give your mother-in-law a cushy job. You know, $25 million a year to be divided up among 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 states. What's that? Less than $3 million per state? That just sounds something cushy. There's the Northern Border Regional Commission, $8 million annual budget. It's to fund economic development in the areas of Maine, New Hampshire, New York, and Vermont. Ooh, a whole $8 million. It's a triviality from my perspective. The Denali Corporation, $20 million budget only for Alaska. Oh, it'll make a little bit of a... It's again, how significant can it be? Then there's foreign aid programs to cut, including the African Development Foundation with a $30 million budget to fund community groups in sub-Saharan Africa. $30 million divided up among all of Africa that is south of the Sahara Desert. That's about two-thirds, three-quarters of the continent. That's a triviality. African Development Foundation just said that. Inter-American Foundation, $22 million. Non-governmental organizations in Latin America and the Caribbean. Again, a triviality. Woodrow Wilson. Oh, this is a good one. The Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, an agency with an $11 million annual budget to discuss foreign policy ideas. They're going to close that down, Melody. Don't laugh, Melody. This is serious. This is a place where people can discuss foreign policy ideas. You know, that $11 million probably includes a lunch, you know. It probably includes a free lunch when they have their discussions. So my point to all of this, yeah, the headline is interesting. Trump is going to try to knock out 19 entities, agencies. I think it's a step in the right direction. I'm not complaining about it, but I am saying that the headline is perhaps bigger than the content of the article. You can read the headline and say, yay, Trump's going to knock out 19 agencies. That must include the IRS, right, Melody? No. No, it includes the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars.
We only want three agencies closed.
I don't know. So,
but the right ones. But the right ones.
Yeah, I understand.
The IRS, one, number one. Oh, geez, Luigi.
Here's another interesting article from the D.C. Clothesline, Washington, D.C. publication. And it says, taxpayer-funded Florida University has a socialist fight club to train students to beat up Trump supporters. I mean, is this fake news? Is this something from Saturday Night Live? What do we got here? A student club at the taxpayer-funded University of Central Florida at Orlando, with an enrollment of about 55,000 students, openly advocates and trains members in leftist fight clubs, plural, leftist fight clubs, to undertake violence against political conservatives. The student club is called Knights for Socialism. University of Central Florida released documents to Judicial Watch on this Knights of Socialism, which include the Constitution of the Knights of Socialism, which describes the student club as, quote, a coalition of Marxist-Leninists, anarchists, and democratic socialists seeking to increase class consciousness. All right, and they see their mission as to establish a new society based on socialism, in which democracy is extended from politics to the economy. In other words, now this is interesting. We have democracy to deal with political issues, but we don't run our corporations and our government, our economy, that is not subject to democratic control, at least not yet. They want it to be subject to democratic control, and the people will vote. How much we will charge for products, how much we'll make for profits, who will get the products and the rest of it. It won't be a question of earning it. there'll be a vote, some sort of a democratic vote that will not merely control the political system, but will also control the economy, which I think is bizarre. And where goods and the production of goods and services is based on human need instead of private profit. It's also based on human need rather than private property. Right? Somebody says, I need that truck you're driving, Melody. Well, I need it, so give it to me. Let's take a vote. Everybody in favor of Al getting a free truck, let's vote for it. I'll vote. You vote for me getting a free truck, I'll vote for you getting a free truck. How's that? A society in which exploitation has been abolished, you know, like it was, what, in the former Soviet Union? They didn't have all exploitation has been abolished, and where human rights will come before property rights. You know, property rights are no small thing, and they go back into Old Testament times, and they are as obvious as you look in the Bible and in the Ten Commandments, and one of them says, thou shalt not steal. And the implication of that is that they recognize that some people own property, and they have a right to own property, and it is unlawful. It is ungodly. It is wicked to steal other people's property for your own benefit. And what this outfit is going to do, these Knights of Socialism, they want to be able to take whatever property other people have, however they got them. They must have robbed somebody to get that property, and they'll take that property and they'll keep it for themselves. Kind of Robin Hood, except they don't give it to the poor because they think they're entitled to keep it themselves. Well, the reason, part of the reason, or maybe major part of the reason that I brought this up, is that this is all about they're going to establish a new society based on socialism. All right, they are promoting the Knights of Knights for Socialism. All right, I got Bernie Sanders working for socialism, and this outfit, these Knights for Socialism, are training their members how to beat up conservatives. All right, they're training, and the left, in reaction to Hillary's loss, has behaved in a way that's been almost astonishingly thuggish. Huh? The Democratic Party has increasingly illustrated that it is the party of the thugs. Now, I'm not saying everybody in the Democratic Party is a thug, but I'm saying there's not much resistance. I mean, they seem to welcome thugs as a means of getting their way, and that's interesting to me because the word Nazi is defined at dictionary.com as, one, the first definition, a member of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, which controlled Germany from 1933 to 1945 under Adolf Hitler and advocated totalitarian government, territorial expansion, anti-Semitism, and Aryan supremacy, all these leading directly to World War II and the Holocaust. The Nazis were the National Socialists. And they were also more than a little prone to thuggery, all right, to violence. And this is interesting to me because most people would tend to look, you try to think, you think of the left, and the left are a bunch of people who like to read books and, you know, they debate things and one thing and another, and they go to a tea house to smoke a joint and have a cup of tea. We don't tend to see the left as prone to violence, and yet we have a small illustration. And it's just a leaf in the breeze. But we have people at Central Florida University that are preparing, teaching, learning how to mug conservatives. And they are socialists. In the name of socialism, they are preparing to beat the whatever out of the conservatives. All right? And, you know, Hitler did the same thing with the National Socialist German Workers' Party back in the 1930s and then to the 40s.
You know, when I look back on the election, Bernie Sanders, he really did introduce socialism to the general population. Yep. And the general population embraced it, a big portion of that general population. So, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, when I see where we're at today, knowing that we know that the system is soon to collapse, we think that a new monetary system has to be embraced to be recreated. What type of government would people really accept afterwards? It would be a socialist. I mean, Bernie Sanders would be president today if he was nominated. And it kind of makes you wonder if the elite, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, introduce Bernie Sanders, introduce socialism, actually setting that mind thought for the future. Donald Trump is, you know, to me, maybe he was a distraction and he was a bigger force than they reckoned. You know, so I think they're dealing with that now. And, you know, I do support Trump, and I do believe he's doing a decent job. I just wish he quit shooting himself in the foot. But maybe he has reasons for doing that also. So, you know, it's where will we be in 10 years from now?
I don't even worry about 10 years. I'm wondering about 5 and maybe even 3. 2.
Well,
how about 2? I would settle if someone could tell me
you.
Where we're really
going to
be in 2
wait,
years.
Wait,
I'd be grateful.
Wait. I agree with you financially, but I'm talking about what type of a government will we have in 10 years.
I am too. And I think you're raising a good point. It may be that by the time the history books are written, that the most influential political candidate of the 2016 election may have been Bernie Sanders. He was the guy that actually introduced socialism, overt socialism.
Yes.
We've had socialism for decades in this country,
but
overt socialism, he's the guy that put it on the map in the U.S. political system.
And it was embraced.
Yeah. By the time it was done, he's certainly he will have a greater effect than Hillary did, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And depending on how things work out for Trump, if things go badly for Trump, Bernie Sanders may wind up being the single most effective politician or influential politician of the 2016 election. Interesting possibility. And it's just one more, you know, evidence that we live in bizarre, unstable, unpredictable times. And, you know where I'm going with that. It's up to each of us to protect ourselves as much as possible. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my